It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Some weeks back, the predictions about popular wearable devices during the holiday shopping drive were all about the Apple Watch. It may be that another wearable company made it into a lot of stockings this year, though. Fitbit, the company's free app, has been high on the iTunes charts.
I would say they're probably the undisputed winner of the holidays in terms of consumer products.
Charlie Anderson is an analyst with Doherty & Company. He says Fitbit has at least 70% of market share in the activity tracker category.
They were not the first. I just think that they were probably the most elegant.
Anderson says that includes the packaging, app, and social experience. The company is also benefiting from a trend in using fitness accessories for things other than fitness.
How many people were buying running shoes but not necessarily running, right? Things that were built for a specific purpose but are not being worn for that purpose. It's more as a fashion item.
One other factor might be Fitbit's cost. Most options from the company are several hundred dollars less than many of this year's smartwatches. This week, China has passed a new sweeping anti-terrorism law. It'll go into effect on Friday, January 1st. U.S. tech firms, not so happy about that. Philip Hampshire is at our partner, the BBC, and has been following this. Philip, what are the implications here for Western tech companies?
So they've pulled back from the absolute extremes of what they could have had. Tech companies aren't going to have to put security backdoors into their software as had initially been planned, but they are going to have to hold a good deal of information and data, hand that over to the Chinese authorities. There's been a good deal of concern about exactly what information is going to have to be held onshore in China. China's actually, again, stepped back from all Western tech companies having to hold all their data and all their information inside Chinese territory, but it's still going to push these technology companies to give up a good deal of information to the state.
Is it possible that communications between users in China and people in the U.S. could be hoovered up by this law, and therefore we could be handing over information on U.S. citizens to Chinese authorities?
Well, this is one of the implications that is currently raising concern. Just to what extent is the law going to be enforced by China? And nobody really knows exactly what the extremities are going to be. Now, on the Chinese side of things, they would say that these kinds of laws already exist in the United States. They exist in the UK. They exist in many other Western countries. And they're just putting in place what's already been laid out as a framework. However, it's going to cause concern in the US. If, as you say, there's a conversation between someone in China, the Chinese authorities perhaps label that person as a dissident, and therefore the entire communication becomes under the purview of this new group. Now, there are also other elements to this law that may cause a little bit of concern. The new law, for instance, restricts the right of media to report on certain details of terrorism attacks. There's actually a provision in there that media and social media can't report on details of terrorism activities that might lead to imitation, nor can they show scenes that are cruel or inhuman. Now, that's pretty wide-ranging language, even in English. It can lead to different interpretations, and of course, as we know, laws can be elastic in their interpretation.
Philip Hampshire is a reporter and a correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Philip, thank you very much.
Thank you.
While we're on the subject of privacy, let me tell you about a privacy-focused crowdfunding project that, even as crowdfunding goes, is kind of unconventional. Tor, aka the Onion Router, is a toolkit that helps people anonymize their activity online. Built first by the U.S. government to help people living under oppressive political regimes, but now the target of some in law enforcement who say that encryption and anonymity online are helping terrorists. Tor gets some of its funding from the government, but until the end of the year, this Thursday, it's asking users for financial support. Sherry Steele is the organization's new executive director. Sherry, a lot of people are talking about this debate over whether encryption tools present a problem while fighting terrorism.
What's the old saying? Only in a police state is the job of a policeman easy. So here it is. We've got a technology tool. If you talk to anybody who's working on the Tor project, they're all freedom fighters and they consider themselves that. they are doing this because they care passionately about people being able to be able to communicate privately. And one of the collateral effects that has happened is that that private ability to communicate sometimes gets used by bad guys. It's kind of like saying that the First Amendment, which enables free speech, enables people to say bad things and mean things.
Is there a connection between your decision to do crowdfunding and the idea that there might be some problems with getting funding from the government in the future?
Not anticipating any hits coming from the government. Many of our grants are multi-year, and some of them that are even coming up for renewal, the conversations that we've been having seem like we're not in any threat. But you have to have a diversification of your funding sources, because any one funding source really can take a hit in any given year. And I think the fact that the people who are working on Tor, the developers, do view themselves as freedom fighters, I think they would feel a whole lot better about not having all of the funding coming from U.S. government sources. So we would love to be able to not be so totally dependent on just those sources.
Tell me a little bit about the challenges of trying to crowdfund when you're fundraising for a tool that is supposed to protect almost completely the privacy of someone online.
We don't collect information about them except for an email address, and then we write back to them if they've gone over a threshold and say, if you would like a t-shirt, send us another email and send us your information.
Sherry Steele of the Tor Project. Sherry, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
The latest figure, by the way, Tor has raised $75,000 in its funding drive. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.